In this special edition of The Right Stuff, we'll be talking to Jessica Fortenberry and her new book, Gravy the Elephant. That's coming up next right here on this special edition of The Right Stuff. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to this special edition of The Right Stuff. So glad you are here with me today. I'm excited because our guest co-host and contributor today is the wife of Bill Fortenberry. And we just had him on the show 2 weeks ago as we talked about the coronavirus and whether or not God approved of the quarantine. So this is Bill's wife, Jessica, and she's just written her book, Gravy the Elephant. It's a children's book that is so wonderful. I love listening to the first chapter, and I'm definitely going to give you an opportunity to hear it too, because Jessica's voice is so wonderful. She just really brings the story to life. And it's not just the first chapter. All the stories with Gravy the Elephant show us how she's using words to bring about biblical and godly principles. This is a must-have if you have little children or children who you want to impart biblical principles to. So I definitely encourage you to go ahead and pick up a copy of Gravy the Elephant, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. I can't wait to talk to Jessica in just a few moments. I want to invite you to prayerfully consider supporting Right Stuff on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/rightstuff and see what we are doing. As a podcast, we showcase Christian authors exclusively from different genres all over the world. We've been doing it now for several years, and we want to take it another step further. We want to increase our distribution. We want to get more authors on the show. Lots of things that we want to do. So I hope that you prayerfully consider being a Patreon to Write Stuff. You can start off for as little as $3 a month by becoming a Quill member and going up from there. We did get a couple of new sponsors this week. I'm so excited to have Chris Watcher as our pen sponsor, and also R.D. Palmer, who is also, pen sponsor and pencil sponsor. We have them both. So I'm really glad to have them on board with the team. They are sponsoring the show. Thank you so much, guys, for your help. As I told you already, Eva, the book, is with the editor right now. So I hope to have that out to you within a few days. Very excited. Would love to hear your responses to it. Thank you so much for your support. If you want to weigh in, you know you can. All you have to do is call 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right. Stop with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Spec Faith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. radio app developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Losing sales due to incorrect algorithm influence categorization? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Radio allows you to reach your target audience who's eager to devour your Christian, faith-based books in a variety of subgenres. You write in a niche market. Radio solely caters to it. Become a content contributor and receive early notification of when you can start uploading your content. Go to twotigersllc.com and sign up today. Radio, the app for great Christian books. Follow us on social media at twotigersllc.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to a special edition of The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. We are talking to Jessica Fortenberry. She is the author of the book Gravy the Elephant. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. This wonderful book really highlights biblical and godly principles in the fun, energizing way that you can share with your young ones, or you can just enjoy by yourself because you're going to have a great time. It's funny, has lots of good things happening to it, so I want to definitely encourage you to get your copy of Gravy the Elephant, once again available on Amazon.com. And like I was saying before, Jessica is Bill Fortenberry's wife, and you know I'm a huge fan of Bill, and it's just so awesome to have his wife on here as well with her own thing going on, and it's like you have the Fortenberry powerhouse. That's what's so exciting. So without further ado, I'm going to give you Jessica Fortenberry. Jessica, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
I am so excited to have you on the show. It's great to make, you know, to just let our listeners know that, hey, guess what I'm doing? I am doing my part for the kingdom of God, using my words, and that's what you're doing. And so I'm so excited to just highlight Gravy the Elephant. I loved the first chapter of Gravy the Elephant, and I know the book has so many wonderful things that I know our listeners are going to love, so I can't wait to delve into it. Now, one thing I definitely want to say, I don't want to make it look like, oh, Jessica has no identity outside of Bill. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to make it like that. So yeah. I definitely want you, in your own way, tell us about yourself. You know, what do you do? We would love to know about it.
After my son was born, I had a stroke, and I'm a different now than I was before, and a lot of that plays into who I am now, the recovery. I have some mental things, you know, that I have to overcome, and I've taken that as a sign from God to be stronger than I ordinarily would have been. And I homeschool, I volunteer at a crisis pregnancy center. I even play handbells with my city group. And I definitely do my own thing sometimes.
What I like is the fact that you said, you know, I'm not the same person I was because illness came into your life via a stroke, but
yes.
You have so much gentle firm belief that, guess what, God still used that to make me who I am. And I think that's a very profound message for our listeners out there, that just because things happen to you that are beyond your control, it doesn't have to make you a terrible person. You're not this awful person. God is still in control. And I like the fact that you held off with that. Personally, I got to ask you, you say you homeschool your son, and with the pandemic going about, I know some people are, you know, adjusting to being more active in their child's education. And so I wanted to ask you if you saw this meme that literally said, it had like a picture of, you know, like Amish women, and it says, last week, homeschool moms reviewed like this. And then right under it, it says this week, and it shows the cast from the movie Tombstone, and they're carrying guns and got the cowboy hats on. Do you feel like, you know, there's more respect now for homeschool moms and homeschooling in general now that we're caught in the midst of this pandemic?
I do. I think a lot of people realize that normal homeschool moms really deserve the same credit that public school teachers get, and homeschool now for those people doesn't look like my homeschool, because I'm in charge and they're not. The teacher is still in charge, you know, and they're definitely getting a glimpse of what teachers go through, whether public school or homeschool teachers.
Exactly, particularly if your child is, you know, like one comedian said, Freddy Krueger, Jason, and Michael all wrapped up.
Yes.
No, you can't just send them off to school. You have to deal with that. Hopefully you'd be a better parent for that. What are you going to say, Jessica?
Yes. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Right. I definitely hear you there, Jessica. Just, you know, I really appreciate that. I just had to talk about that because, you know, I'm an advocate of homeschooling, and I know some people aren't for whatever reason. And you kind of go like, why not? Why can't people, you know, educate their children the way they want to educate them? Unless they're not, if they're not beating them down or hitting them in the face with crowbars and stuff like that. Like, you know, unfortunately, we know that has happened. It's fine, you know.
Yeah.
So definitely want to just make sure our listeners understand that, you know. So my next question is, what did your journey to writing look like? Because you mentioned that you weren't the same person before you had your stroke, and how that defining moment in your life has made a path for who you are now. So tell us, what does that journey look like for you?
When I was a little kid and in high school, I wrote, but it was just like stupid drivels, you know, it wasn't really anything. after my son was born, he could read at a very early age, but there were not very many books appropriate for him out there. And so I started writing short stories for him, and that really got me into writing seriously. And I was challenged to do NaNoWriMo in 2012, and I plotted the entire book in 1 week, and I wrote the entire book in 1 month, and then I edited it for 6 years before I decided to self-publish it. And throughout those 6 years, I had several people ask me for advice as a writer, and one person loved my advice so much that he asked if I would read his manuscript and give him editorial feedback. And by the time I reached the end of his book, I realized that I was an excellent editor as well as a writer. And so then I had another friend ask me to edit her memoir, and I found out I was an excellent children's fiction editor, not so much the memoir. But I recently edited a college final paper, which was different because I couldn't suggest actual changes, just, you know, this sounds funny, you know. So I still prefer children's fiction, but editing requires authors to want your service, and I just decided in the past year or so to start doing this, so I didn't have anything going on. And when quarantine hit and we were all bored out of our minds just sitting at home, I gathered up all those short stories I had written for my son in kindergarten and decided to publish them. So,
I like the fact that you created your own solution. And I think that's important for those of us, particularly those of us who want to create fiction that our children can read, because the world definitely has fiction that a lot of people object to. And so what you did is created your own. And I think that's admirable. And now you have into a book, and then God used all these things to let you know, hey, you're pretty good at what you do. Me personally, Jessica, yeah. I do not know if I can ever write a children's book. I think most of my children's stories will have like this really sad connotation with it, or, you know, life's cruel, kid, you know, something like that.
Oh, dear.
And, you know, and then next thing you know, you go, Parker, go away from my child right this second. Like, Jess, don't throw me out your home. You know, but I totally respect people who do children's fiction because it's not easy. It's not easy at all.
No.
You can probably write some young adult triangle better than you can write children's fiction because it has just, there's elements of children's fiction that is very unique to the genre itself. So I commend you on that. And then I like how you branched yourself out. You know, you didn't just stay in one place.
Yes.
You branched yourself out to see what happens. And guess what? God bless you. Now, Jessica, what made me laugh is that you said, hey, I did NaNoWriMo. I plotted it out. I wrote it in a month. Took 6 years to edit.
Mm-hmm.
Do not feel bad about that, Jessica. Don't feel bad because it took me 10 years for my first book to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel bad about that. So my next question kind of deals with, you know, your writing process. So I know your writing process ultimately has changed over the years. So tell us a little bit about that.
Right. Well, I use a lot of procrastination, number one.
Oh, bottled or in the jar? No, I'm joking.
Both.
Right.
So everything has to be just so before I start. Music, no lyrics, just music. My coffee or tea and blankets. And if I'm starting something brand new and I know what I'm doing, I normally open a new document and write a few paragraphs, and then I have to leave it almost immediately. And then for a good half an hour, I come back to it, reread it. I always delete what I've written, and I start over, and that starting over launches the project. I don't know what it is about writing and then deleting and then starting over, but it works every time.
I find absolutely nothing wrong with that because sometimes you need, you know, you got to get yourself there. You know, if you're a pantser, like I'm a pantser, so you have to get yourself there. There's a mood that you have to set. There's an ambiance that you want to have. There's just this place you want to be at. So I totally understand that, Jessica, particularly when you say you get your coffee or your tea, I think, and you go ahead. You said, I'm going to drink my tea now because I have to get the tea and the sugar and the caffeine going through me. All right, that works. Now I can think. I love it. Absolutely love it. And I'm laughing a lot because I know there are some of our listeners out there who are writers who are definitely in the same boat that Jessica is, because we just can't start right away. We have to get into the mood. Doesn't matter how you get it done, as long as you get it done, like we show today with Jessica with her book, Gravy the Elephant, again, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We're going to go ahead, take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll be hearing more from Jessica about her new book, Gravy the Elephant. We're going to hear an excerpt that she recorded as well. It's 5 minutes long. It's not real long at all, but I think you're going to enjoy it because I definitely did when I first listened to it. So I can't wait to share that with you. And of course, if you want to weigh in on our topic, you know you can. Call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring His gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here, a special edition on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very, very glad you are here with me today. I am talking to Jessica Fortenberry. She is an author, and she's the author of Gravy the Elephant, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. If you love children's books that impart biblical precepts and concepts, this is the story for you. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of that today. And to bring Jessica back on, Jessica, I'm so glad you're here with me today. Very excited to share this story with you. And so what I would like you to do is tell us a little bit about Gravy, but don't give us any spoilers, even though it's kind of a episodic kind of tale. But go ahead and just tell us a little bit about Gravy the Elephant.
Okay. Gravy is a collection of short stories I wrote, mostly for my son when he was in kindergarten. There are two stories in the book that he actually helped me write. He dictated most of the plot to me, and I wrote it down, and then I went back and fleshed the story out. Some of the stories are about anthropomorphic animals. Some are about realistic human kids. Some are simply funny stories, and some try to pull out a great biblical truth.
You know, you said that your son helped you to write it. What was that like to co-create with him?
Lots of laughs. He's very silly and imaginative, and sometimes he would take the story where I would not expect it to go, and so it was a challenge to me because he would help my creative process and expanding my mind and saying, "Oh, maybe we could do this instead with the story." And so it's been a real joy to work with him.
I'm fascinated by that because oftentimes on the show, various authors will mention about co-creating with God, and then have you experience that with your son, to co-create with him. And it's just fascinating, you know, and to wonder how does God view us when we co-create with him, when we seek him and with our creations, you know. So I want to definitely get that idea about that. You know, so you said Gravy is the elephant. He's all these short stories that you're talking about here. So Gravy, the title, the name, when I saw it, because Bill mentioned it to me, when I saw it, I said Gravy. I'm thinking, oh, maybe she meant Greg or somebody else, but no, it's Gravy. So I was like, okay, where did that come from?
That came from my son.
So your son was the one who came up with, okay, that's funny. That's funny because it's awesome, actually, because it just goes so well together with the whole thing about it. You know, and so you have this story, and what I want to do, I definitely want to share the first chapter of Gravy the Elephant with our listeners. It's only about 4 minutes. long, so it's not really long at all, but I think you're going to enjoy this excerpt from Gravy the Elephant, and it's a complete story. I love Jessica's voice. It's so engaging. And so we're going to go ahead and play the first chapter of Gravy the Elephant, and then we're going to come back and talk some more about it. So without further ado, Gravy the Elephant, Chapter 1.
Gravy the Gray Elephant. Once upon a time, there was a gray elephant. His name was Gravy. His mommy and daddy were gray, his brothers and sisters were gray, and all his friends were gray. One day, as the herd was walking across the desert, Gravy looked around and realized they were all gray. He thought that was boring, and he wanted to be different. He didn't need to look far before he saw all the brown dust they were walking on. He scooped up a trunkful of dust and blew it all over himself. He smiled, because now he was brown. A big gust of wind came then and whooshed all the brown dust right off his back. Poor Gravy was gray again. He wasn't giving up, though. As they continued their trek across the desert, Gravy's herd passed a large lake. The beautiful blue water shimmered in the sun, and he thought if he jumped in, he could turn blue. Alas, all he turned was wet. When he came up out of the water, his gray was a shade darker than everyone else's gray. But then another gust of wind came and lightened him up again. Gravy still wasn't going to give up. He was a little disappointed, but if he kept looking and kept trying, he knew he could change his skin color. Day after day, the herd traveled. They passed cacti, more lakes, and more cacti. After a week of trudging through dust, the herd passed a sweet-smelling gathering of flowers. Now, these were not ordinary flowers. These flowers were bright red. They were as big as plates. Gravy knew they were off-limits to eat, but the more clumps of flowers they passed, the more that red looked like it might do the trick. Gravy slowly made his way to the back of the herd. If he wanted to eat any red flowers, he had to make sure no one saw him, because everyone knew they weren't supposed to eat them. Once he was sure no one was watching him, he gobbled up lots of flowers. He started to get full, but thought he should probably eat a little bit more, just to make sure he ate enough red to change his entire body. An elephant, even a little one, had a lot of skin. When he couldn't eat one more petal, Gravy ambled back toward his spot near his mother. The minutes ticked by. He started to feel funny. His ears wouldn't flap like before. His trunk wouldn't raise like before. Suddenly, he couldn't take another step. He flopped onto the ground, causing his mother to come running. She gave him a strange look, and Gravy thought maybe he was finally changing color. "Gravy, did you eat any red flowers?" his mother asked him. She sounded suspicious and looked at him sideways. "Hi, Mama. Am I turning red?" "Oh," Gravy groaned, "I don't feel very well." And with that, Gravy coughed and all the red flowers he had eaten came rushing up and spilled out onto the ground. Mother Elephant shook her big head. "You aren't red, you are green. Those red flowers make elephants very sick, and when you're sick, you turn green. Rest here for a few minutes, and you should feel better soon." Mother's eyes were sad, and Gravy felt ashamed of himself. He had disobeyed his mother because he had wanted to change his skin color. He changed his skin color all right, but it sure wasn't what he expected or wanted. "Mama," Gravy said, "I'm sorry for disobeying you. Next time I think about doing something wrong, I will remember this and obey. Please forgive me." Mother Elephant wrapped her trunk around her baby. "I forgive you, and I'm so glad you learned your lesson. I love you, son." As Gravy sat there cuddled next to his mother, he thought maybe it was a good thing his skin was gray. He didn't get too hot in the sun with the dust and water. And he was never too cold either, since the sun was always so hot. From now on, he'd be content with the way God made him, because God never makes mistakes with important things like what color your skin is.
And that is an excerpt from Gravy the Elephant, written by my guest co-host and contributor today, Jessica Fortenberry. You can find the book on Amazon or wherever books are sold. And Jessica, I have to tell you, I love the way you read that. It was so engaging, and you can just visualize everything happening with the silly little elephant running around trying to change his skin color. And then he eats red flowers, gets sick, you know, and then he's like, oh, gosh, did my skin turn color? She said, yes, it's green. It's green because you're sick. And I just love how engaging that chapter was. But what's so interesting is just the depth and the simplicity of how you explored this whole idea that God doesn't make mistakes. And it was Gravy who had to make a mistake to understand that God doesn't make mistakes and how we are made. You know what I mean, Jessica? So I thought that was really brilliant of you. So when you were working on this particular story, did it come from your homeschooling lessons? Were you trying to say, hey, I want to be more deliberate about teaching my son to be pleased with what God has given him? You know, what was the impetus behind it?
Well, my entire life I've been kind of fascinated with skin color. I've always imagined, you know, situations that, if I had been born as an Indian or as an African or with some other color of skin than I have, and then I read the story of Amy Carmichael, and she had been born with brown eyes, and she really wanted blue eyes, and she prayed and prayed for blue eyes, but God never changed her eye color. And later in her life, she realized God, she had to have brown eyes in order to serve God in India, and how God doesn't make mistakes with what he gives us on the outside. And I've always wanted to write a story about something like that. And this medium with this little baby elephant seemed like the best way to do that without being overly like, oh, God makes some people white
preachy
and God makes
and
some people black.
Like,
you know,
yeah. So I totally get you there. And it's a wonderful way of doing it. And I was kind of floored as I listened to it. I said, wow, she's really effectively teaching a child to be pleased with what God gave them and also show God's sovereignty in just these few words. And I thought that was brilliant. I particularly like those social experiments they sometimes film where they make someone a different ethnicity and that person will go out and you'll have, let's say, like a Caucasian, you know, looking like an African-American or what have you.
Right.
And they'll go out and do something. I actually find those quite fascinating.
Right.
And they kind of go like, nothing's going to change. I remember the one I saw, the guy was like, no one's going to treat me differently. He said, yes, they are. And then to see it happen, you felt so bad because this is the world we live in, you know. So I like that you did that. Particularly, I like how, you know, his mom, you know, Gravy's mom, how she didn't scold him so badly that he felt too terrible, but she did admonish him. And then the last thing she did was give him approval and hug him. You know, that actually, because Mother's Day is coming up, that actually kind of brought that image to mind, the motherhood. You know, even though they scold you, at the end of the day, they're going to hug you and say, all right, it's okay. I know that you did something silly, but it's okay. You know, so what made you decide to want to narrate this particular story? Was it just you trying to go audiobooks? You just wanted to have a free medium where people who homeschool their children can have access to it? Tell us about that.
That would all be my husband. He's got a professional mic, and I've done narration before, mostly nonfiction. And he said, "Oh, you should do your stories." And I've always been like, no, I don't think so. And the past couple of weeks, he's just every day, have you recorded your story yet? Every single day. So I finally was like, you know, he's not going to stop. I better just record it. And so I did.
That's him called encouraging. Some people may call it nagging, but it's all spin, right? It's all spin.
That's right.
But I'm so glad we need, sometimes we need that because me and you both are procrastinators. Me and you both. And so we need that person who lovingly says, are you done yet? Are you done yet? Are you done yet? Because eventually you can't procrastinate them. You know what I mean? They're not going to stop. Yeah. So you need that encouragement. So Bill, good job for you pushing Jessica, because the way you read it is so, I was really immersed in it. So what are some other biblical principles that you pull out of Gravy the Elephant, that, you know, not all the stories, obviously, but just a couple that you can share with us. And just give us like a nugget of the story itself.
So in the collection of stories about Gravy, I've got several in the book. I explore obedience to parents, which you see in the one that I just read, a little bullying between Gravy and his friends, some pride, definitely. In one of the standalone stories, I talk about trusting in God during scary times. I tried to incorporate themes I saw would be good for my son to read about. I want him to I want the characters to struggle to make mistakes, because we all make mistakes. And then I want them to realize they can say, I'm sorry, and change their behavior and move on, similar to what we just saw in the first chapter.
I like that you use some of those things, because those are things that we truly deal with in life all the time, particularly when you said trusting God during scary times. And hello, this pandemic is a scary time for a lot of people. Even though states are starting to ease up their restrictions, there's still a lot of fear. There's still a lot of uncertainty. And for a child to be exposed to that right now, and then to read this book, I think they'll be helped and say, okay, it's okay to be scared, but I can still trust the creator of all to help me through this scary time. And so for those of you listening, we're talking about Gravy the Elephant with Jessica Fortenberry. It's a children's book that I know you're going to enjoy. All you have to do to go is go to Amazon.com or wherever books are sold and download your copy today. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with Jessica and more about Gravy the Elephant and other things as well. Call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag Rights.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to this special edition of The Right Stuff. We are talking today to Jessica Fortenberry. She is the author of the book Gravy the Elephant, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Let me tell you, this is just an engaging children's fiction novel that I know you're going to enjoy as we follow Gravy the Elephant and his friends as they learn about God, about themselves, and incorporate biblical principles and teachings. I know that your child will love this story, so what I definitely want you to do is make sure you pick up a copy of it today. You're definitely going to enjoy it. And Jessica, I'm so glad you're here with me today to talk about this book. It has a lot of nuggets of wisdom that I know that parents particularly will enjoy, because it gives them the opportunity to impart these things that they want to teach their children. Plus, you deal with issues that are currently affecting our children now. Like you said before the break, bullying, trusting in God, being obedient to parents, which is probably a hard one because we're naturally hard-headed. I remember my mom said, you don't have to teach a child to lie. He will do that on his own, because when his will starts to clash with your will, you know, then when do you bring that battle in there? So, yeah, definitely an enjoyable read. And, Jessica, thanks for letting me highlight it today on the show. Now, as you're going through all these things and all these characters that you deal with, who are some of your favorite ones? I would assume Gravy, but that could be the wrong assumption. So who are some of your favorite characters within this collection of stories?
So I love the stuffed bears in the second half of the book. My sister and I were given glow-in-the-dark bears when we were on deputation to become missionaries to Japan. And I took many of the adventures we had in real life, and I wrote them from the bear's perspective. So in this book, I only included a handful of stories. I have many more and plan to turn them all into their own book about the bears' adventures across America. And then I'm hoping to write a sequel about their adventures in Japan. So the bears observe the very real sibling rivalry that my sister and I and my brother had. The girls in the story play that out in front of the bears, and the bears always have a thought or two about that, you know. So in these stories, I pull themes of family, unconditional love, getting along, sharing, lots of stuff you'd see in a nuclear family. And probably since it's based on my childhood, I really enjoy those stories.
It's so cool that you are a missionary in Japan, because I took Japanese when I was in my younger years. I took Japanese. I took for 4 years, and, of course, I'm a huge anime manga person. So, yeah, that's kind of cool, Jessica. You're already cool anyway, that you just went up like 1,000. So that's kind of cool anyway. I like that. And it must be interesting, too, that you'll be able to share some of the thoughts that go on, you know, going to a different culture, learning about it and things of that nature. So looking forward to that, looking forward, lots of stuff going on there, you know. And so the other thing I had to ask you is that, you know, when you think about where you're going with this series, I'm assuming it's going to be a series of books that you're going to be going. What is your hope that parents will take from picking up your children's fiction?
Just to encourage the parents and maybe give them a helping hand in opening the door to talk about some of the issues. I know when I'm thinking about raising my own son, especially in the very formative early years, it was kind of difficult to know how to approach a subject with him. You don't just sit down and say, hey, kid, let's start talking about such and such, you know? Hopefully my books can open that door for parents.
That's a good point you make, too, because sometimes you have these very heavy topics and you see things, you're like, oh, gosh, how do I tell my six-year-old about something, you know, racism? How do you tell them about that? You know,
right.
You don't really want to because you want them to grow up thinking no one's different. I remember because my husband is Irish and German, so my niece had a table with the Disney princess, and we were for some function. And my sister-in-law was like, which one is Auntie? And she pointed to the black princess on the table. And for her, it didn't matter. You know, it wasn't a thing. You know what I'm saying? She looks like this one, you know. And I was kind of laughing because I told my sister-in-law later, I said, it's nice to be sitting on the table. You know, it was just joking, you know. It's nice to sit on the table.
Yeah.
And then there was another one. They had, she said, look, Auntie, that's you. And I look, and it was orange blossom, you know, strawberry shortcake. It was orange blossom.
Right.
And I remember looking at my sister-in-law, I was like, who's that? She said, I don't know. I didn't remember her growing up either, you know. So, you know, so as adults, we can laugh about it, but as adults, you have it. But then the subtlety that they put into it is what I like. And that's what you're doing, the subtle, hey, you know, doesn't matter. You're perfect as you are, like with the first story. You're fine as you are.
Yes.
And then he started thinking, oh, I can, my skin doesn't get too hot. I can do this. I can do that.
Right.
And then you start to embrace self, love. And I think at the end of the day, that's what a child needs. And so that's just more of what's in this book to our listeners out there. So make sure you pick up a copy of Gravy the Elephant. Now, Jessica, we are getting close to the end of our show, so I want people to have an opportunity to connect with you, because you don't just write, you also are an editor as well. And people who want to you know, talk to you about editing, particularly their children's fiction, tell us where we can find you online.
I have a Facebook page called Jessica Fortenberry Author, and you can message me there. I'm also on Instagram, but I haven't posted in a while, and I didn't jump on it when it first came out, and I honestly have no clue how to properly utilize it as an author, so I just stick with Facebook and my author page there.
I get you, because I remember when Pinterest came out, and I got on Pinterest, right? So I'm sitting there going, this is a waste of time. And I'm sitting there, and people are like, you just pin pictures. I said, how is this fun? You know, I remember thinking, like, this isn't fun. It isn't engaging. But there are some authors out there who swear by it. I'm sitting there going, I have other things in my life to do than look at pictures. I mean, I like looking at pictures like the next person. Don't get me wrong. But same thing with, like, what was the other one? I think it was Instagram. I just got on Instagram very recently, like within the last year, and I really don't use it. I'm a horrible person. But it's like you kind of sitting there go, okay, so I share a picture. Okay. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I share a picture, and people push the like button. But apparently it's a huge follower generator, builder. Yeah. But I completely sympathize with you, Jessica, because some of the social media – I totally feel you there. So we got a few moments before we end the show, and I would love for you to kind of give us encouragement to the author out there, because particularly your story is of interest, because the Lord blessed you to come back from a stroke. He's blessed you to have a son that you presented and created content for, and he's using you to help other authors hone their skills. So with all that going on, I want you to use the few moments that we have and encourage those authors out there whom God has given the gift to write to pick up the pen and do so.
So the biggest thing for me to get through to write is writer's block. And I've found that just doing something physical, vacuuming the house or taking a brisk walk around the neighborhood, it's amazing how exercising your body can stimulate the mind. My second piece of advice would be to hire an actual editor. And this is not a shameless plug. And any editor that you need to hire. I don't know how many self-published books I've read that were literary trash because the author decided to skimp and just skip the editor stage. And my last piece of advice is to never stop writing. If you feel burned out, try a completely different genre. When I wrote all the children's stories I seemed to have inside me, I started a young adult coming-of-age book. And I got a good 27,000 words in before I realized that was not what I need to write, and I still have a lot more children's stories that I can write. So just keep writing.
I like the fact, you know, that you said, you know, you have to distract yourself sometimes because writer's block is real and it can really cause you not to be able to think. And you're talking to someone who recently experienced that, because I put it in our Write Stuff Authors Only group. I could not move past a sentence. It was crazy, Jessica. And I'm sitting there going, I have to move past this sentence. There's so much more to write. And sometimes you just get blocked. And you can't think until that one particular moment is right. And I don't actually clean up when I have writer's block. So maybe I will try that. Maybe I'll try to like clean up or vacuum, you know, take a walk or something. And that'll help you out. And I like how you said, never stop writing. You never stop writing, particularly if God has given you that call to write.
Right.
So Jessica, thank you so much for being with me on the show today. Cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Thank you so much.
And we were talking today to Jessica Fortenberry. She is the author of the book Gravy the Elephant. It's available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead, love on my sister, and get a copy of it today. It's a wonderful read, particularly if you have young children. You want to impart biblical and godly principles to them in a very subtle way that's also engaging, Gravy the Elephant is the book for you. So make sure you pick up your copy today. And hey, if you're a children's author out there or a children's fiction writer on the rise and you need someone to edit, contact Jessica. She's more than happy to help you. She's pretty good at it. And guess what? You will be blessed by any advice that she can give you. So make sure you reach out to her today. Thank you for joining me for this special edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at ParkerJCole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.